Cultivate Simple, Episode 12, Buy Better.
I'd rather be a farmer. I'd rather work the land. I'd rather see the mountainsides. I'd rather see.
Welcome to Cultivate Simple, an honest and unrehearsed discussion about trying to live a more simple life. And this is episode 12, and today we are talking about buying better stuff. So episode 12, here we are, episode 12. We committed to 12 episodes, and so today we have an announcement that this is our last podcast that we committed to, and so...
For the year,
and...
For 2012.
Yes. And therefore, we're going to continue doing them.
If we can think of topics.
But the response...
So if you have topics you'd like to hear about, feel free to mention them in the comments.
Yep.
Because sometimes it can be difficult to figure out what we want to talk about.
That's right.
So we don't get on and just ramble about random stuff.
Although sometimes random stuff is good too. Yeah. One thing that we definitely want to do and that I need to start working towards through scheduling and so on is getting some interviews, because we have some really just interesting folks in the area that we can talk to about, you know, living a more simple life and what it takes to do that, or people that have done it. I mean, people that came up here to Maine in the 70s to, as part of the Back to the Land movement, wanting, with that as their goal, trying to live a more simple life. And so I really think it'd be interesting to hear from them and what they've learned over the past, you know, 40 years in doing that. So that's something that we're going to be doing some more of. But again, just talking about topics that we find interesting. And like I said, the response has been overwhelming, especially last week's show, talking about introverts and a highly sensitive person. If you have not gone back and read the comments in that episode, you might want to, because it is really, it's amazing. And we're going to discuss that a little bit more later on. So.
And true to the introvert nature, I got some direct emails as well. Yeah,
rather than comments in the show notes. Yeah, that's right. So, we're going to continue doing the podcast. We really enjoy doing it, and we think that we definitely think that there's value in it, not only for you as the listener, but for us being able to discuss these things. It's kind of funny. We were talking the other night about what do people normally do when they sit around at night? You know, what do people do if they didn't have TV or whatever? And here we're sitting there on the couch with the Christmas lights on, you know, just having a discussion with some warm milk. And so I guess that's what people do. And that's basically what the podcast is just you listening in on one of our daily conversations.
Yeah.
So it's been fun, and we really enjoyed it. And like I said, we've just really appreciated the feedback and everything that's been going on with that. We're going to continue doing it. Yeah. And hopefully you continue liking it and listening to it and suggesting things and helping us out with it, because you're the reason we're doing it. We're doing it for the listeners, for you. And so it's kind of fitting too, because today is, we're recording this on Sunday as we always do, but it's Sunday, December 30th. And this is the 12th episode that we committed to.
Right, which is funny that it
ended up this way. And if we wouldn't have skipped a week like we did, then wouldn't have. In kind of celebration of that and everything else, we're going to give away one of Susie's calendars that we've been talking about for the past few weeks. So if you would like to win one of these beautiful calendars, we'd much rather you go to the website and buy that one. That would be great. But you can always give that one away as a gift, or give the one you win away as a gift. We just want you to leave a comment in the show notes. And what we want you to leave a comment is one way that you're going to simplify your life this coming year. Just maybe something that you're going to give up in order to slow down or to appreciate, or you know, maybe you're going to set aside 10 minutes every week to just reflect on the week, whatever it is, just something, come up with something that you want to do this week. I don't want to call it a resolution because I think resolutions are so just played out.
It's because people only do it once a year. The problem is it should be a continual process throughout the year instead of something you decide to change everything on January 1st instead of making changes throughout the year as you notice them and, you know, want to work on stuff, et cetera, et cetera.
I think that's one thing that we do a lot is that we evaluate. We do a lot of evaluation in everything that we do in trying things and looking to see the results and learning from the results. And I think if you don't do that, that really, we talked about that in another episode where failure and learning from your failure. And if you, it's okay to fail as long as you grow from it. If you don't grow from it, then it's just a waste. You know, you're wasting time, you're wasting resources. But even with through failure, you can learn and you can better understand.
Right.
You know, and that's the same with gardening and everything. I mean, some people try gardening, but then they fail. And then it's like, oh, I can't grow a garden. I don't have a green thumb.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know that many people have green thumbs inherently. I don't think it's something you're born with. But it's just, it's something you learn. It's a skill.
The ability to move and change and not be set in your ways is probably the...
And adapt. Yeah.
Being able to adapt and being able to admit that you don't know everything, kind of.
Right.
Because, yeah.
Well, and you can't know everything. I mean, it's, you know.
And sometimes
and every year is different. And
sometimes knowing something is more of a hindrance when you're trying to do it than not knowing, I think.
That's true. So we're giving away one of our calendars. That was a long way to say that.
Yeah.
So if you want to leave a comment in the show notes and say something about... how should we have them phrase it? We should do another secret one so it's only for people that listen to the podcast.
I think only people that listen to the podcast comment on the podcast comments.
Well, maybe that's true. I don't know. So yeah, just leave a comment and we will pick somebody for the show for next week and announce it on the show next week. So you have to be listening to the show next week in order to hear if you won or not. So there you go. So today's topic is buying better stuff.
And maybe we shouldn't call it stuff.
Buying better things.
High quality items.
Buying better
tools.
High quality items.
Because stuff kind of has that. Stuff is almost like a
consumerism
derogatory term, kind of.
Yeah,
it's all
it
that. I mean, it's up there with like crap for me. You know, stuff.
Crap. And that's another funny thing about Susie. Whenever she says crap, she always has to say it that way.
That's how my grandma always said it.
Oh, so. Really?
Oh, yeah. My grandma made.
Just about everything.
She loved that word.
She loved crap.
Oh, yeah. She loved that word.
That's
everything
hilarious.
Was crap to her.
See, that's
exactly how she said it.
Just
too.
How you heard that. That's how Susie says that word every single time. And now I know why. I never knew that. That's a new one. I never knew that. Yeah, buying better tools or things. We talked in our episode about debt and we talked, you know, and of course the podcast is about simplifying your life. And a lot of times people think that means doing away with things or minimalist lifestyle. And I don't think we have a minimalist lifestyle.
It's hard to do as much as we do and have a minimalist lifestyle because you need so much equipment and
crap
to, you know, to do some of the stuff that we do. So
because we have a couple different small businesses that we run and with the gardening and with...
Right.
And I think when you want to do more things for yourself too, that requires more tools, you know, for gardening and for other things like that. And so you start to accumulate things. But I think that... And what the point of this show is about is that there's a huge difference between accumulating crap and accumulating... good quality
and
items.
Building a toolbox is almost the difference.
Yeah.
Because you want to acquire things that you're going to use and you're going to put to good use and things that are quality and are going to last your lifetime as opposed to buying just a bunch of stuff that next year you're going to sell at a yard sale or it's going to break or wear out or it's going to end up at the Goodwill.
Right. And in our show about debt, we actually talked about that, about our sort of epiphany moment
Oh, yeah, because we used to buy a bunch of stuff. We used to have a lot of
stuff.
Stuff that we didn't use that wasn't necessarily useful. When you, I mean, yeah, you used it, and but really, do you need something like, I don't know, what's a good example? You know, things that you
votives,
have around.
Candle votives.
Oh, yeah. I mean, really.
At one point, we had a lot of candle votives.
Yeah.
And a lot of candles.
And we'd burn candles every now and then, but...
But yeah.
But, do you really need it?
Do you really need candles?
No, you don't.
I mean, yeah, it's enjoyable.
You might need one or two.
Yeah, and for emergency reasons and so on.
For emergency reasons, or you might want one or two every now and then to burn, you know, while you're having dinner. But in the same respect, we have none in the house right now, I don't think. Right. And
our lives are fine.
I don't know that our dinners are any less, you know, enjoyable because we're eating by the lamplight instead of a candlelight.
Maybe people light candles for meals to distract from the fact the food's not that good.
Maybe, that's true.
Which also plays into the topic today.
Yeah.
So this topic actually came about, and Susie wanted to talk about this because of a comment or a couple of comments that were left on the blog. So why don't you discuss that? You don't have to read the comments. Remember, she's giving me this look like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I have no idea this was coming up. So.
When you were talking about the Clarington Forge tools.
Oh, yeah. Back, it was probably a month or two ago, I talked about getting a new seed bed preparation rake from Johnny's.
Oh, that's right.
And it's like a 3-foot wide rake, and you can put these little things on it and rake it. You know, it prepares the bed for planting, smooths everything out really well. It's a lot better at its job than, say, like a garden rake or one of the soil rakes, like the short foot long wide ones. The tines are really long, plus I got these little things that you could attach to it, and then you can drag it through your bed, and it makes straight rows. You know, you put them on depending on what you're planning to space things out. So it just makes the chore go a lot faster and a lot more efficiently. Mm-hmm. And I think it costs like $70 or something like that. And I remember a couple of people commented and said, oh, $70 for a rake, that's pricey.
Yeah.
You know, I probably wouldn't buy one for that. But then I thought, you know, this rake, because it's a quality tool, it's going to last me for the rest of my life. And I'm sure some gardener is going to be using it for their lifetime after I'm gone. You know, they'll buy it at a yard sale or, you know.
Or down at Liberty Tool here in town.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it'll get passed along. I probably don't need a seed preparation rake. I could probably use one of my other garden rakes, but one of them broke this past summer, and then my other one is, you know, they're not good quality tools, so they're not going to last. The one that I have may last this summer, probably not, and it's probably going to break this spring, and it's not the kind of tool that you can repair and fix. Mm-hmm. So I got this one, and I think it's a valuable tool to spend the money on because it's going to last me and I'm going to use it. And the efficiency that it provides and the amount of time I save is well worth the price, because probably in a month, the amount of time I can save using it is going to more than pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's where this topic came from, and that's where we decided to talk about this, because this is definitely something that we do a lot in our lives. And I think that it does... It simplifies your life in a few different ways, which we'll discuss today. So we have a few quotes that we're going to kind of throw in that we've gathered when talking about this topic, because it is a topic that we live out every day.
And we talk about it a lot.
And we do.
And we talk about with other people. And
And we also discuss, too, whenever we're going to buy anything, we always discuss that, and it's... I go back to that story, and I think I told it in the Debt podcast about the leather jacket that I was going to buy when I had my motorcycle, you know, and just really debating about that. And it was a $100 leather jacket, but do I really need a leather jacket? When we kind of decided to discuss this, it was interesting because it was right around Christmas, and one of my friends posted on Facebook a really funny status message, and... it was Don Carter, a guy I went to college with, and he said, Christmas Eve presents opened, Christmas morning presents opened. Just a few hours in and 50% of them are already broken. Darn Chinese and their crappy toys that they make. Sun Tzu, would be proud of you. You're winning the war, and we don't even know we're losing it, let alone in one. And I just, you know, I liked that comment and commented back and said, you know, preach it and this kind of thing. But isn't it true? I mean, we fill our lives with stuff, and that's where I'll use the stuff word. We fill our lives with stuff, but it's all crap, and it's all stuff that breaks and that lays around and that we don't use and that we don't appreciate and that we don't care for.
And that's
for.
One of the reasons we don't have money to buy good quality stuff.
Right.
Because I'd rather have one really good shovel than three that are going to last me, you know, 2 years and they're going to break.
Right.
You know, I haven't been gardening for that long, you know, maybe 10 years. And all the tools that I bought originally are
not with you any longer.
Broken, or they probably should have just been thrown away and not made the trip up here. Mm-hmm. So now I'm rebuying stuff. Whereas if I would have bought, you know, like Clarington Forge tools originally, I wouldn't be rebuying them. So, I mean, in the long run, it's cheaper. Initially up front, it can be more expensive.
Right.
But, and I think that, you know, some people say, oh, well, it's more expensive. But if you buy fewer,
right,
then you have more money to purchase better. And if you just don't, if you get rid of some of the superfluous stuff that you don't need.
Or just then, don't buy it in the first place.
Or do it for Christmas gifts. I mean, that's like us. Our Christmas gifts are super practical. I mean, I got a potato fork for Christmas, and it's an expensive tool. Yeah, and it's probably something I would love to have, but I never would have bought it for myself. But yeah, I mean, so I got a potato fork for Christmas, which is, you know, it's a great gift because it's going to last me forever, but it's not your typical kind of the kind of thing that most people expect or want. And some people might be highly offended to get something like that for Christmas, you know?
Well, and we talked about on our debt show, because you mentioned three or four different really good points there, that one of them is time. And I think that when you're looking at something, you need to calculate the overall cost of what it is. So that the rake that you mentioned earlier, it was $70 for this rake. But it can help you make straighter lines. It can lay out your bed for you, and it prepares the bed for you. Now, if you didn't have that rake and you had to do that by other means, then it would cost you time. And we talked about in our debt show how time is one of those things that you really can't buy. You can't repurchase it. You can't, you know, gain that back. So if something saves you, let's say a half hour every time you do it, and you do that for, let's say, 20 years, okay, so that's 10 hours over a 20-year period. Now, you can calculate this a few different ways. If you look at it in a wage kind of way, so let's say at your job you make, you know, $20 an hour. Well, 20 times 10 is 200. So you've saved yourself $200 over 10 years, or over 20 years.
Calculate real wage, it's going to be more like $400.
Right, because of taxes and everything else. Plus, I mean, you know, over 20 years inflation, and you're going to be paid more. So, but it, you think about it like that, and of course, that seems to be taking it to sort of, you know, well, that's crazy. You know, I'm not going to spend $70 on a rake. but that's really, that's how we think about things, is the overall
cost. And it's not about not having things.
Right.
But it's about spending your time and money in the things that you think are going to make your life better, more enjoyable, you know? Because, I don't need a seed preparation rake. And it's another tool.
Right.
But for me, it's valuable in that it saves me time. It makes that job easier. It just, you know, does what it's supposed to do. And it's engineered to do that. So it's not about not having. I mean, Cultivate Simple isn't about simplifying your life. Isn't about doing away with everything and becoming a minimalist.
Right.
It's about surrounding yourself with the things that you use, with quality things that enhance your life.
And that,
because the simple life isn't easy necessarily, you know what I mean?
And sometimes the simple life isn't simple.
Yeah.
You know, and that leads into some of the examples that you and I wrote down. But first of all, I want to share another quote, because one of the things that Susie got me gave me for Christmas was a shirt. It's kind of an overshirt. It's sort of a half jacket, half shirt sort of thing. It can be used for both. And it's real thick, heavy wool, and because I love wool.
And it's again, reinforced in the elbows and in the shoulders. Right. And
it's made by a company called Filson, which I know a lot of people haven't heard of. They started out as an outfitter back in the 1800s, the late 1800s, out in Seattle. And just a great company. And everything, I have just a couple items of clothes from them, but just really love them. One is my hunting bibs, which are super heavy, thick wool and will literally last me the rest of my life. And then she got me the shirt for Christmas, which I have really been enjoying wearing it everywhere. But it's interesting when you look on Filson's website, and this shirt, I won't mind sharing because I looked it up, you know, not that I was looking up gifts, but we were looking for some other things on their website because they were having a sale. At any rate, the shirt was around $200, and you think, geez, $200 for a shirt. But listen to this quote from, and this is from C.C. Filson in the 1914 catalog that they put out. "The goods we quote must not be confounded with cheap and vastly inferior grade with which the market is overrun. Such goods are not only useless for the purpose for which they are intended, but the person wearing them would be better off without them." And I really like that quote. And Filson's tagline is, "Might as well have the best." And that's, I mean, obviously that's a marketing slogan, but I think that it's true. This shirt is literally, it'll probably last me the next 20 years. I mean, it's super high quality.
And it's a shirt and a jacket, kind of.
Right. And so it's very versatile.
That you can
use
for 9 months out of the year. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of it is that it's wool, too.
Yeah.
And it can be mended if need be. And it's going to, you don't have to, then another thing about wool is you don't have to wash it as much because mm-hmm. it's naturally antimicrobial and like anti-deodorizing and it like self-cleans itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is kind of an amazing fabric.
Yeah, it doesn't hold odors. It stays warm when wet.
So it doesn't wear out as fast either.
Right. Yeah, I was wearing, and don't get me wrong, I like some of the modern fabrics. I like Gore-Tex in boots, you know, keeps your feet dry and so on. But I wore my wool jacket. If any of you are fans on Facebook or liked the Chiots Run page, you probably saw some photos of Susie and I and her dad out hiking in just snow coming down, you know, an inch an hour. And I had my wool jacket on and it was wet by the time we got back to the house, but it was still warm. But that's just another one of those things. We really like wool clothing for all those reasons. Yeah. Like right now I'm wearing,
well, like your wool jacket, for example. Mm-hmm. That one wool jacket you bought on eBay is probably a 1940s wool rich jacket. So it was made, I mean, 80 years ago.
Right.
And the thing is still kicking. Yeah, I could use a little bit of mending on the lining on the inside.
Well, the lining is cotton.
Right, and the lining is cotton, but the wool, the heavy wool fabric is still
in great condition.
In really great condition.
Yeah. And I got that jacket, you know, for cheap off of eBay, right. But even a new Woolrich jacket or a new Filson
but
jacket.
But a new, yeah, and a new Woolrich Filson jacket isn't going to be as good a quality as the old one. Right. And another reason we buy from Filson is because a lot of their stuff is made in the United States, which that's important to us too, for quality purposes and because just for the ethics of it, you know, I mean, we feel that's one of the ways we've talked about that before. You know, a lot of people go vote on twice a year, you know, sometimes it's three times a year, but you know, everybody complains and spends 6 months talking about who they're going to vote for as if that really makes a huge difference in the grand scheme of things, you know, where you spend every dollar you make makes a far bigger impact than what checkbox you click on the first Tuesday in November. So, and that costs more and you have to be willing to pay that price, I think, and to sacrifice, but most people aren't. They'd rather like something on Facebook than actually do anything about anything. And I think investing in good quality things is a way to do that because you can step aside from the consumerism that's so rampant today. And just that, I mean, it's just like that weird cycle that doesn't get you anywhere. And you can step back and you can buy good quality stuff. You can support American workers. You can buy one item that you're not going to have to replace. You're not going to keep having to buy over and over again, which then simplifies your life because it frees up funds for other things in the future. It frees up your time. You know, so instead of having five jackets, have one wool shirt instead. And it doesn't cost you anymore. It actually costs you less in the long run. That's the thing about buying good stuff.
Right.
It's more upfront, but it's less in the long run in both time, money, headaches, all of that.
Yeah. And that's...
That's my soapbox.
Yeah, I know. You keep stepping up on it and spitting out all these good points, which I try to remember, but then you're throwing so many out, I can't keep up with them. But yeah, that's... What I was going to say about the Made in the USA is, too, you know, we're
and
very
some Made
into...
in USA stuff still stinks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and sometimes I buy something made in Germany or, like, glassware. I tend to buy glassware that's made in Brazil because they're still using the borosilicate techniques down there. So, yeah, so the company I buy, like, Pyrex kind of stuff from is from Brazil. I don't
it's
buy
not
it.
Pyrex.
It's not Pyrex. Yeah. I don't buy the United States company because they've cheapened their product. So, I mean, sometimes it takes a little research. My grain mill isn't an American grain mill. It's a German grain mill because after the research I did, I decided I wanted one that was made out of wood that had, like, the ceramic grinding stones and not the metal. So I bought a German-made one. So it's not always about buying USA-made either, but it's still buying with ethics with a company that's still, you know... The Brazilian company hasn't cheapened their product because they're still dedicated to making a good product. So it's not for them. It's not about the bottom line necessarily. And I appreciate supporting companies like that too, even if they're making products elsewhere in the world. You know, it's not just about buying Made in USA stuff. So.
Well, what I was going to say before you completely stepped all over me there was... buying made in the USA is kind of the next logical step after buying local. You know, if you can get something local, and I was talking about this. I went up and I was talking with Hank yesterday. Finally stopped in at the sporting goods store here in Liberty, and they were open. So I talked to the owner there for about an hour about different things, and he was talking about how everything was made in China. And I said, well, you know, maybe that could be your niche, is that you carry fishing lures that are, you know, local or that are made by local people. And he said, yeah, I'm definitely into buying local and keeping money local and business local. So yeah, buying Made in the USA, I think, is an extension of that, buying local.
Exactly.
And trying to keep that money within the system, as it were. So, some examples we wanted to give, just to give you some solid examples rather than kind of this theory. Some examples of some things that we have bought are things like our coffee roaster. We roast our own coffee, and I think we've discussed that before. And
we'll have to do a giveaway sometime of a pound of coffee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you like coffee, that might be coming. but... One of the other points of this, not just saving money and not just time, but is also enjoyment. And if you have more money and you have more time, then you'll have more enjoyment, obviously. But with our coffee, we were getting coffee from a guy who really just did a wonderful job roasting it and decided to stop doing it. And so we went around and we were doing different or trying different coffee from different coffee shops, and we just really couldn't find any that we liked and that was up to the quality that this guy had been roasting for us, doing it in small batches. And so we decided to try to roast it for ourselves. And in doing research, we found a couple different techniques, and there's a couple ways that you can do it with old popcorn poppers, air pop poppers, and you can do it in a cast iron skillet and different things. But we decided to take the plunge and actually buy a small coffee roaster. We bought it from...
And partly because we drink espresso.
Yeah,
I think
right.
that if we just drank brewed coffee, I've heard that the popcorn method works fantastic for that.
Because you don't necessarily need
you
a darker
don't have to get
roast.
It as hot.
Right.
Yeah.
And once you get it to the point where it's a dark roast, then there's a very fine line between dark roast and charcoal. And then having a drum roaster, which is what we have, more evenly roasts the coffee. So Susie did some research and she found a guy.
Well, I did a bunch of research and I read that you can buy roasters that are the kind we would have needed would have been. It's kind of like a microwave that they.
I think change, the company is B-More, yeah.
And there's a timer on it and everything, mm-hmm. and you set, it's kind of like, you know, it's one of those things with the control, an electric control panel, and which we hate those kinds of things.
Because there's a lot of things that can break on there.
Exactly.
And that, you know, if something like that, if anything has an electronics, anything electronics in it, and the electronics
you can
go,
pretty much guarantee
it's done.
It's going to last you a couple of years, and that's it. And then you have to rebuy the whole thing because it's right. very difficult for the
or
most part.
Well, the interesting
thing
is, you can repair it, but what are the most expensive parts
all
on something that you can repair?
Oh,
the electronics, yeah.
Like our dishwasher back in Ohio, we replaced the control panel 3 times, right?
Yeah, 2 or 3 times. Yeah.
And the control panel was like $150 every yeah. time we'd have to repair it. And yeah, it's cheaper than buying a new dishwasher.
But
in the same respect, it's ridiculous that the control panel went bad 2 or 3 times
right.
in 10 years.
It's obviously a design
flaw. 12 years.
Of some sort.
And
that's even with us repairing it ourselves. That's $150
right,
was for the part.
Right. Which is easy. You just plug it in.
Right.
And we should do that as a link later. But anyways, about this coffee roaster. So I started doing a bunch of research and there were lots of reviews online. It's a great roaster, but a lot of people said this is a great roaster, but it only lasts a year. Just plan on rebuying your coffee roaster every year. And granted, it was like $100 or $120,
well,
something
and,
like that.
And speaking of total cost, it was a 1 pound roaster, but they said that really effectively you could only do like a third of a pound at a time,
right?
And we usually drink about a pound and a half, 2 pounds a week.
So I thought, really, I refuse to buy kitchen products or like appliances that are only gonna
that are guaranteed to break
that like do one thing and are guaranteed to break. I hate to buy things that I have to replace. I mean, there's nothing I hate worse than buying something that I know I'm just gonna have to continually sink money in, because mm-hmm. that's not a good use of your money.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, there has to be someone somewhere making a little roaster that you can use. And generally at that point I go to commercial, because commercial products are always a lot better made. They're made to be repaired. They often don't have the electronic control panels and stuff in them, mm-hmm. because they're made to last, because restaurants can't be buying new refrigerators every year.
Right.
It just isn't going to work. Granted, they're usually 2 or 3 times as much as like a home model.
Which isn't that interesting. They take out all the expensive parts.
Exactly.
But it's all good quality parts.
Exactly.
Too.
And they're made to be repaired, and it's going to last you pretty much for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
With maybe a few minor repairs here and mm-hmm. there. But yeah, so I started searching around, and sure enough, I started searching kind of small professional models, because I thought that would be a better option for us. And I found some dude somewhere in like Minnesota or Wisconsin
dude.
Or somewhere that builds roasters from small. I mean, they're like small, semi-professional ones that'll do a couple pounds up to, I mean, he has ones that do like 20 to 30
right.
pounds. And he sells to coffee shops, small roasteries, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody loved his product, and he makes it out of parts. Every single part, you can go to your local hardware store and buy it and replace it yourself when it needs done. And he even has like, you just give him a call because it's him.
Mm-hmm.
You give him a call and say, hey, this isn't working. And he'll say, oh, well, you need to buy this part. Call me back when you go get it, and I'll walk you through how to put it in your machine.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not about trying to sell you 15 different roasters in your lifetime, as most companies are. He's out because he loves good coffee, and he saw there was a need for that kind of a machine.
Mm-hmm.
And so he started making it.
And we'll put a link to that machine in our...
Yeah.
Our show notes.
Because, yeah,
too.
It was like $500, I think, I paid for this machine.
Right.
And
okay,
but
so here we go.
But we've used it for
so
how many years now?
So here it comes. So we did all the calculations and we figured it out, because we thought, geez, $500, that's a lot of money. Okay. But as I said, we use about a pound and a half of coffee a week. I don't know exactly. I need to figure that out, because that sounds like a lot to me, but I think that's about right.
I think you. I think you roast like 3 pounds every 2 weeks or something
okay,
like
so
that.
Okay, so yeah, about a pound and a half a week. So we did all of the math because you
that roaster actually isn't as cheap as I thought it was. That other one we were looking at, according to Seattle Coffee Gear,
which is a good place to buy coffee,
is $299.
Yeah, that's what I thought when you said that. So it's $299 as opposed to $400. And both of those, you're saying to yourself, geez, well, that's a lot for coffee. But remember, you know, our criteria are money, time, and enjoyment. So we did the calculation, and we figured out that after 2 years, because buying green coffee beans, unroasted coffee beans, they're actually a pretty decent deal, depending on, you know, there are different kinds that you can buy and different blends. But we figured out that it would take us around 2 years to recoup the cost of the roaster. Now, we figured that within 2 years, there may be some repairs. So, you know, you'd have to fudge the numbers a little bit and say anywhere from 2 to 2.5 years to recoup the cost of the roaster. We have actually been roasting for just over 2 years now, and we have not had one repair to that machine. It's still running great, does the job, even figuring in electric costs, which aren't that much.
Which he did studies and said it costs about 5 cents to roast each pound of coffee, or every time you run the machine, kind of, you know, to roast whatever you roast from 1 to 3 pounds.
So now, after 2 years, we have recouped the cost of the roaster. We have had amazing coffee for the past two years, and we have a way to make something to give away gifts for other people
which
to
saves
enjoy.
Us money, because you give someone a pound of micro roasted coffee, I mean, you'd pay 16 to 25 or 30 pounds for a good, depending on
$30.
The kind of coffee, $30 yeah. for
unless you're in England, then it would be pounds,
you know, for good micro roasted coffee,
right? Yeah. And so now, you know, you're, because again, the three criteria, one of them is time. It only takes about 20 minutes to roast a pound of coffee. And during that 20 minutes, I can also be doing other stuff. Because I do it in the garage. It smokes like you wouldn't believe. So I just set it, you know, right on the edge of the garage door. But then I can be working in the garage, and I have it down to pretty much a science now, where I know exactly what's going to be taking place, and I know how long it takes, so I can go for about 15-16 minutes and do some work in the garage while that's in its early stages, and then come back and finish it off. So, you know, I can still get 45 minutes worth of work done while I'm roasting 3 pounds of coffee, which takes about a little over an hour. So it also helps out, though, because, you know, we don't need to go to a coffee shop and pick up our coffee, and especially now that we live sort of in rural Maine, that helps out with time a lot too. So I know this is kind of a long thing about a coffee roaster, but this is kind of the process that we use when we're thinking about anything we're going to purchase, using those criteria and thinking it through all the way to the end. And now we have a machine that we're actually, you know, pocketing $10 for every pound of coffee that I roast. So every, you know, if we were to continue on our coffee habit, we're now making essentially $30 every 2 weeks. So, you know, and then that starts to add up. Plus, like I said, now we can give it away as gifts, and people, there's a lot of interest in people buying our coffee. And so, you know, who knows, it might turn into a business out of this, and all from, you know, this one thing. Susie also mentioned commercial appliances, and that's something that we're definitely going to be looking into with our house, and
whenever we need to. And it's not like we're going to run out and, you know, replace all our appliances, but once they break beyond the point of being repaired, because we definitely we repair our appliances ourselves if possible. There's a great website called repairclinic.com, right? And you can get on there, and do they have the forums on there where you can search? And
I believe
I think it's, and they, I think Repair Clinic even has like professionals on there that'll recommend like what products you might need to fix your appliance. And they have, I mean, you can order like 3 or 4 different things and try them out, and they have a great like return system. So if, you know, the first time we fixed our dishwasher, we knew it was going to be like 1 of 3 things, I think. So I think we ordered all 3 things. It ended up being the control panel, and then just we returned to the other 2 items, you know, and they give you your money back. So, you know, learning to do a few key things like that, which isn't that difficult,
no,
you know, replacing
not.
The repair, replacing the control panel of the dishwasher is as much as undoing a few screws and unplugging something kind of with like mm-hmm. one of those computer plugs, plugging a new one in and putting the screws back in. You know, there's a lot of like weird lore too that surrounds that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And people think it'll be difficult. But I mean, if your appliance is broken, what do you have to lose? Especially with repair clinic, because if the part doesn't fix it, you can take it out and return it.
Right.
And get your money back. So you've lost some time. But in the same respect, you've gained some knowledge and some insight and, you know, maybe some experience for the future. And maybe you fix your appliance and save yourself a couple $100 and replacing it.
Yeah, because...
But yeah, but we're definitely yeah. want to do whenever appliances break, like if when our washing machine breaks, I'm definitely going to replace it with like a Staber washer or something, which they're appliances that are manufactured in Ohio and they're made to be repaired, and you can call them and they'll walk you through what parts you need and send you the parts and help you fix it yourself. They're made to be repaired by the consumer and not to be a professional product that you have to pay someone to come fix or something. I mean, I really believe that things are just kind of engineered to wear out and break down faster than they used to be.
Mm-hmm. I think they are. I really think that there's, you know, in engineering and in manufacturing, we used to have a friend who her husband was basically a guy that would go in and analyze every process in a manufacturing process. And he would say, you know, you can save yourself one penny if you take out this. But once you do that so many times, something gets, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? I keep wanting to say economize, but that's not the right word at all. You break something down to its most simplest thing. You keep taking things away mm-hmm. until something becomes the one thing it's meant to do, but it only does it for a certain period of time.
Yeah.
I know that's not a great way to explain that, but I hope that makes sense. And I think that's what manufacturing has become, especially with Chinese operations and with things not being made in a quality way. Basically, the company knows it's going to break.
And things are made to be dispensable now.
Right. Because disposable, yeah.
Disposable. Yeah. Because you're not going to... Most people, when their stove breaks or, you know, whatever mm-hmm. their microwave breaks, they're just going to go out and buy a new one.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Instead of repairing it, instead of, yeah... looking into it and seeing if...
Yeah, and I think companies realized that, and right. they started thinking...
But isn't that good for the company,
if
though?
I can make this last a year or less, or 2 years less, or 5 years less, people aren't going to notice, as long mm-hmm. as it lasts...
But it works
long
on,
enough that right. people, you know, they make them last long enough that people are like, oh, I can't believe my stove broke. Oh, well, I'm just going to go buy a new one.
Right.
And because of society, there's always a newer, better stove that you need. You always need the stainless steel because yours is just almond, or, you know, the black one is in now, or I need cast iron grates now, or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your old thing is always out of style. So it gives people, it almost gives people an excuse to upgrade because of the way society is now.
Yeah.
That's almost what people want too.
Mm-hmm.
So
and for the manufacturers too, it works out to their advantage on both ends, because if they can manufacture something for less and yet charge you the same price,
they save and then you're going to
resell it,
rebuy it
to you
years.
Or another one. And that's the same with everything when you think about it. You know, Susie, one of the Christmas gifts that she gave me were handkerchiefs, which some people have, you know, moral objections to blowing your nose in a rag and sticking it in your pocket. But I don't know. I'm sure that you have noticed this. And if you haven't, then please go check this out. And I can give you about four examples really quick. One is Q-tips. Susie's mom gave us a box of Q-tips.
Yeah, that she had had, like, it was like one of those little travel packs that she'd had in her suitcase that she probably bought like 15 years ago. And just because she always...
These things were so sturdy and had so much nice fluffy cotton on the end of them.
Oh, yeah.
If you look
at
it...
It's like using one of those big laboratory swabs. Yeah. You know, those ones with the wooden sticks.
Take a box of tissues. No, boxes of tissues, the boxes themselves have stayed the same size because they still fit in, you know, the tissue holder that your grandma made you 20 years ago. But if you take a box of tissues, yeah,
that looks like a lady's skirt.
If you take a box of tissues and you kind of shake it back and forth, you'll feel the tissue sliding back and forth in there because they've left the box the same size, but they've cut the tissues
down. Well, you notice when you pull it out and the thing's like 3 inches wide.
Right. So now you have to use two tissues, which makes you replace the box faster, which saves the manufacturer's money on both ends, or makes the manufacturer's money on both ends.
And when you, one reason we really notice this is because whenever we find something on sale or find a good price on something, we stock up.
Yeah.
So we'll order, you know, like 2 or 3 cases of toilet paper when we find a good deal on
That's right.
So then we use it for 2 years and then you buy it, you replace it and you're like, what happened to the toilet paper? Yeah. Because you haven't been buying it every month. Yeah. And so you don't like get brainwashed, I suppose, or the wool isn't pulled over your eyes by the small incremental reductions
changes
in quality. Yep. You pull out an old box of Kleenex, and it's kind of worthwhile. I have this one roll of toilet paper that we've had for like 7 years that I just keep, and it's like one of those individually wrapped ones, and I just keep it in the back of our cupboard. And every time I buy new toilet paper, I pull it out because I'm like, geez, look at this. And it's hilarious. It's hilarious. It's just one of those things you do for fun.
Because like,
it's amazing the difference. I mean, the thing has probably like 1,000 sheets of paper on it, and it's wound so tightly you cannot squeeze the toilet paper and get much of an indent. But nowadays you can squeeze it.
Yeah, they're wrapped so loosely that it's almost, there's almost airspace between
the... And the rolls are way shorter, too.
Oh, yeah.
So they're, you know, 3/4 of an inch short, or not as wide, or whatever
I can remember,
you want to,
in our bathroom
you want to say it.
Back in Malvern, I can remember when the toilet paper barely, because I put toilet paper holder ends, I guess you'd call them, too close. And so you could barely roll the toilet paper because the rolls were so thick, so wide.
Yeah.
And now, I mean,
by the time
you've
we
got
left
like
there,
an
they
inch
fit
on
fine
either side.
And they were rattling around on there.
Yeah. So it's just interesting. That's another kind of, I don't know how we got down that road, but talking about toilet paper
Kleenexes.
And Q-tips.
Kleenex.
Oh, yes. Your manufacturing. And okay. So now we're bringing it back around to commercial appliances. So that's definitely one of the things we're going to do. Susie has a really great stove. We bought a KitchenAid stove, but it
and we
quite
got
a
it
while
back
ago.
Before it was, because I've looked at the newer versions of it, and they just seem so cheap.
And that's the interesting thing too, is a lot of things that seem high quality might not be, and that's where it really pays to spend some time and do some research, because it will save you time, energy, and investment down
the
road.
Because if I needed to buy a new stove right now. Mm-hmm. Which I don't, because my KitchenAid was still good quality back when I purchased it, and we'll probably replace a few parts if needed if it breaks down. But I wouldn't buy a KitchenAid right now. I'm buying a Blue Star, the next stove that I buy, and that'll be the last stove I ever buy. They're made in Pennsylvania. They're still great quality. You don't get all the bells and whistles, so it's not going to have a dehydrate setting like my current one is, which is kind of, I do love that setting, but...
But we're going to build a solar dehydrator.
In the same respect, it's worth, you know, it's better to buy a dehydrator to build a solar one than to buy a cheaper stove that's not going to last as long that has that setting.
Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of times, in order to entice you into buying cheaper stuff, they'll give you more...
Like bells and whistles, kind of?
You notice that with cars nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
Where cars, the Fords come with Ford Sync or whatever, and it's like, okay, great, but... I don't care if the radio works if the car's not going to be able to
and
be driven in 5 years.
And half the time that
years.
Doesn't work either, because my mom has it on her car. And
Yeah,
that works great.
I always like...
That works about as well as any Windows computer.
it probably runs on a version of Windows. That's another topic for another day. But, and speaking of computers, that's an interesting... Because we use all Apple products. We use all Macs. And I came about that because we started using, or I got the first one, I should say.
Yeah.
Because I was doing video editing. And back in the day, that was, you know, it was known that Macs were good for, and some people still think this, that they're only good for people who do graphic design and video editing. And that's not true anymore. Macs can do pretty much everything, but it's just better quality, and you don't spend, again, the time, fixing things that, you know, it used to be, and we haven't used a Windows machine in quite a while, so I'm sure that the quality has gotten better, but I still hear people complain about that.
Mm-hmm.
And about repairs that need to take place, because Apple controls, and this isn't an Apple commercial, but Apple controls the manufacturing process as well as for the hardware, as well as the software. So they have quality control the whole way through. Now, of course, you know, they've gotten a little big for their britches lately, and their quality is also starting to go mm-hmm. down. So who knows what the next thing will be. But that's another good example of paying more upfront, because, yes, Apple products are more expensive. But if I'm not spending hours and hours and hours trying to fix them, well, and even with repairs,
mm-hmm.
Susie's monitor on her iMac started flickering, and, you know, we called up Apple and I said, listen, you know, it's going to take me 2 hours to drive to the repair facility that you want me to take this to. And they said, okay, we'll send out a repair tech. And they had somebody come right out to the house. He was here for, you know, half hour, 45 minutes and replace the product or replace the screen. So even in that...
At no cost.
Because we bought the... Well, and that's a whole other discussion for a whole other day. But we bought the extended warranty, which I usually do on computers because, again, one repair and it was worth it.
Uh-huh.
Which I don't recommend buying extended warranties on everything. Again, another topic for another day. So we already talked about clothes a little bit. And this also applies to food. Buying better quality food up front... And we discussed this a little bit on another podcast about going down to the German market and some of the things that we bought down there.
Right. And it's about, I think with food, it's kind of about quality versus quantity.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, yeah, you can get ground chuck at the grocery store for whatever. I have no idea because I have not been to a grocery store in so many years. I don't know. $3 a pound or something like that.
That's a good number.
Grass-fed beef is going to cost you probably twice that, maybe less. I mean, I don't know. It depends on your supplier, your local farms, you know, that kind of thing.
If you buy in quantity.
If you buy a whole cow or a half a cow at once, you know, it's cheaper. But just eat a, you know, stick to the quarter pound serving suggestion instead of eating 6 ounces or a half a pound. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So... it may be more expensive, but just focus on, it's going to be more nutrient dense for one. So you're going to need to eat less of it. And it's going to be just better in so many ways, in flavor and, you know, all of that other stuff.
That's one thing I noticed, that Susie's parents were here last week and we talked about that on last week's show, that they were coming up and actually arrived early. And I noticed that, and your mom said she doesn't listen to the show anymore, so I can talk about them. But it was just interesting. I noticed that their eating habits, and I noticed this more when we go to their house,
mm-hmm.
how they eat a lot of stuff that doesn't have, you said, nutrient density.
Yeah, it has no nutritional value.
Right. So, but they eat throughout the day then.
Right.
So we'll be getting ready to go somewhere and Susie and I typically eat, you know, bacon and eggs or something very hearty and something very nutritious and solid that's going to last you, if, you know, until
more than an hour.
Supper. Yeah. And so we'll be getting ready to, you know, okay, well, let's run over to the market and get a few things. And her mom will be, oh, well, wait a second, I have to have a snack. And so then she'll, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning, we just ate breakfast 2 hours ago and she needs a snack.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why didn't you eat a good breakfast instead?
Yeah. And that's part of that weird mentality, though, because I remember you used to read, back when I read magazines and stuff, they'd say, oh, well, grazing all day and eating small meals all day is better for you than eating a couple of big meals, which I don't think is true anymore. I've noticed that, because we eat two meals a day, essentially. We eat a big breakfast, and then we eat an earlier big dinner. And mm-hmm. we kind of, in the afternoon, we have a cup of coffee and maybe a small snack, maybe not. It depends on how much physical activity we've been doing that morning and whether or not we're hungry or not. But, I mean, I almost think now that that's almost kind of taxing on your digestive system to be constantly eating throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that when you do eat a big meal with a lot of good protein and a lot of healthy fats, because we focus on eating a lot of fat in our diet, a la Weston A. Price, we eat breakfast and we'll eat eggs and maybe some bacon, maybe some sausage, maybe not, maybe some sardines, often with some vegetables in there, some sauerkraut, some spinach, some mushrooms, something like that, alongside. And we don't get hungry until, you know, you start getting hungry around 4 o'clock in the evening, maybe 3:30, but you know, it's not a big deal to be hungry for an hour before you eat supper. You know, hunger isn't a bad thing necessarily.
No, it's a good thing.
And we kind of live in a weird culture that if you're hungry, well, I'm going to eat a snack, even though dinner is only an hour away, you know, and then you don't eat as much as at dinner. And then when we wonder why we're always sick, it's because we're eating stuff that has no nutritional density throughout the day.
Well,
and then we're not able to eat as much of the nutrient-dense food during our meals. And if you do need a snack, eat some yogurt or eat some sauerkraut or, you know, something like that instead of reaching for potato chips or a piece of bread or, you know, not that those things are necessarily inherently bad, but you shouldn't be eating potato chips every day or...
Or as a meal.
Exactly.
Which some people do.
Yeah.
But
or a granola bar. I mean, any of that stuff. It's not going to be as nutrient-dense as... I mean, for most, if you're cooking from scratch and making good food.
Right. But then you can look at that from the other aspects or the other criteria that we use too, because there's time involved with that. So if you're, if you're grazing throughout the day, you're taking time to do that every time. Plus, if you're eating, you know, granola bars from the store and
they're expensive and it costs more. And people, that's one of the things people always say to me is, oh, but eating locally and buying like pastured meat and all that kind of stuff is so much more expensive. Well, if you look at it as apples to apples, then
in the grand scheme,
It costs more. But we have definitely found, and I know other people, a couple of other people that have transitioned to a local, more nutrient dense diet, they've said the same thing that, we're not eating snacks. We don't need to eat that anymore. So we're actually saving money, which it ends up costing less because you're not eating a lot of fluff that has no nutritional value because your body knows that, you know, and that's what I think that's where cravings come from. It's your body trying to tell you that you're not eating healthfully enough if you're having food. Personally, I mean, that's because we don't have that anymore necessarily. Now that we really focus on eating nutrient dense food, so no, it doesn't cost more. I mean, apples to apples, I suppose up front it may look like it, but all of this stuff is like that. You know, a commercial stove is going to be 2 or 3 times as much as one you buy at your local appliance store,
right?
But it's going to last you for 30 years, so you're going to have 5 or 6 other stoves in that period of time. So,
and the time to research those and to go out and buy them and to get them hooked up. And if you have, you know, if you have somebody come and install it.
Right. And if you have to pay for disposal of the old one or any of that stuff, and not to mention just the hassle of having to deal with that. And the headaches of having an appliance that's broken.
And what does it cost you? Because, you know, well, during the week that you're going out and buying it and getting delivered, you're going out and eating every night. And, you know.
Well, and you don't, then that's the thing. We don't have a microwave. I have a stove. Why do I need a microwave? And it just ruins your food anyways. Food tastes so much better when it's warmed up on the stove. And what's the point of having two appliances that essentially do the same thing that you're then having to maintain and pay the electric for, you know, your microwave and having to buy a new one every couple of years when it breaks down and taking up counter space and all of that stuff. So,
but now your microwave can say hello to you across the little display. And
while it ruins my food.
Hello, I'm ruining
your food. Robs it of texture and flavor.
So I wanted to throw another quote in here, because we have a couple good ones. This one was by Epicurus, the Greek Epicurus? Is that how you pronounce that?
Epicurus. That's how everyone does Epicurus, but I think it's Epicurus.
Okay. Well, I'm not a Greek nor a philosopher, which this guy was. Alive.
How's that for a job?
What? A philosopher just sit around and think stuff up?
We do that. We just don't get paid for
it. That reminds us of one of our favorite terrible movies, Armageddon. You guys are NASA. Don't you have people that just sit around and think stuff up? No, didn't say stuff, but this quote from and this philosopher was alive, you know, in 341 BC to 270 BC. But this is what he said: do not spoil what you have by desiring what you have not. But remember that what you have now was once among the things that you hoped for. So don't, the things that you have, I think that's definitely, you know, being content, looking around at the stuff that you do have,
mm-hmm.
and not saying, oh, well, this stuff's crap because I want something else. And it, that goes back to what you
said. And that's something you definitely have to, that's a mindset you have to change if you want to do the whole buy quality as opposed to quantity, mm-hmm. because otherwise you're not going to be content having the same jacket for 30 years. You know, you're going to feel the need to buy a new one every couple years so mm-hmm. that you can be in style or, you know, whatever. So I think that that's a mindset that is, goes along with it. You have to change that.
But that also comes back to that mindset has been instilled in us. That's one of the things.
If Epicurus is talking about it back in the BC,
right.
It's kind of like it's almost must be like an innate human thing. That you constantly have to be conscious of, and
well, when you, yeah, I mean, the Ten Commandments that
fight
you
against,
don't covet,
covet, yeah, that's,
you know,
true.
Don't covet your neighbor's wife and
yeah.
mule and everything else. So, but yeah, going back to that thought of consumerism, and you know, if you watched, we watched the first couple seasons of Mad Men, the TV show, and you know, about Madison Avenue and advertising, and you know what I really got out of that show is basically they're there to make you feel like crap so
oh,
that
yeah.
you need to buy their product in order to feel better about yourself, mm-hmm. but that becomes that has been so instilled in us that we constantly feel like crap because we never have enough and what we have is never good enough. And so I think that's one of the biggest benefits about not watching TV is that you're not bombarded with those advertisements.
Right, and not reading magazines either, because right. I remember thinking of that. I used to get Better Homes and Gardens and a bunch of other gardening magazines. And I remember when I would look at it, I would always think, oh, I need new curtains, or
yeah.
I really wish that I had a flagstone patio in my garden instead of my, you know, wooden one. And then it just kind of dawns on you one day. Yeah, these are beautiful images, but all they're doing is making me want that or making me feel like what I have is inadequate when it's not, and it's perfectly usable.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, and even the articles, because that's one of the reasons that you did away with magazines, because they were just getting overrun with ads.
Yeah.
It was more ads than it was article.
Right.
But even the articles are just basically talking you into, you know, buying something.
Because they get paid to do that.
Right.
And I notice that now, too, when I read books. I think it's becoming a thing, which is one of the reasons I often don't read, like, the mass market novels that everybody mm-hmm. else is reading. Because I read this one book, and I was reading through it, and they, like, specifically named a couple of pharmaceuticals by name in this book. And I thought, well, that's really weird, because they didn't need to mention this specific name of this specific product. And I have no doubt in my mind that they got paid.
Sure.
To list that in there, because why else would you? And otherwise, it would probably be like some copyright infringement thing. I mean, you know how those companies are nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought, well, that's really weird. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where I stick to John Steinbeck.
Well, it's just like
Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah, I mean, even to a mundane and silly but recent example, our neighbor BJ was showing us this funny thing she saw on the Jimmy Kimmel show.
Yeah,
and it was like Instagram photos, and I thought, isn't that interesting? And I don't know how long he's been doing that, but isn't that interesting that everybody
everything is a product placement.
Hates Instagram right now because they changed all their policies
privacy
and
settings
so on.
And stuff.
You know, and it's on Jimmy Kimmel, and hey, this is cool, and you should do it too. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just really, and everything is marketing and trying to get you to buy more stuff. It's just, and we talked about this, the Michael Pollan quote that, you know, food manufacturers need to get you to eat more, because basically mm-hmm. the only way, you know, to increase their profits or increase production is to make more people so that there can be more people to eat, but you can't make more people, so you just get people to eat more. And it's the same with everything that you buy, is that the companies want to make more money, so they need you to consume more, and they need you to buy more, and you know, so again, that goes back to buying crap that breaks, and then you rebuy it, and you rebuy it, and you rebuy it. And the whole time, you know, again, it's compounded with that feeling of the stuff that I have is not good enough, or the stuff that I have is last year's model, or is out of date, or whatever else. And, you know, and I really just think that that screws up your life because you're not content any longer.
Right. And this is a good time to throw in this quote.
Yeah.
It's from a book called The Fourfold Path to Healing, which is an interesting book. It's about food and eating and different, a whole different mindset of healing yourself instead of the traditional focus on like health and vitality as and cultivating that in your life instead of dealing with issues that come up via your conventional medicinal methods by, you know, going to the doctor when you, or, you know, popping an Advil when you have a headache, instead try to figure out why you have a headache, and dealing with those issues as opposed to constantly medicating. Mm-hmm. But anyways, it's an interesting book. Not for the faint of heart, because it has lots of, you know,
crazy.
It has some interesting stuff in there, you know, and hey, I'll read it. And it,
Susie doesn't discount anything. Some of the stuff was,
I mean,
pretty nutty.
Yeah. But interesting. And there's a lot of good nuggets in there. And I think you have to be willing to not write off stuff like that because of some weird things, because there's something you can glean from everything. Too many people write off stuff because it's something, it's a different, from a different political viewpoint or from a different religious viewpoint, or too many people write off stuff because they have those inherent like blinders on. And I think you have to not do that. And you can gain a lot of knowledge and wisdom and insight by being able to read through that and maybe, you know, take everything, even if it's something you do, beliefs you do hold, take those with a grain of salt, and it can be eye-opening sometimes. Anyways, yeah, so on to the quote.
That was a good intro, though.
America is a nation obsessed with finding personal happiness, but the person who sets out to find happiness rarely succeeds. He or she may achieve occasional and temporary satisfaction through financial success or a busy social life, but rarely true happiness. Happiness comes to those people who concentrate on the opposite, who do things for others, who set out to produce beautiful paintings or delicious meals, who engage in projects that bring beneficial change to the world. Such people not only contribute to a better world as a result, but also achieve unexpected happiness. These are the people who move through life with ease in spite of obstacles and misfortune. And I think that's really interesting because it's that whole, and we've talked about that before on one podcast about changing your mindset. And instead of being the victim and talking about how I'm just not lucky, or I don't have time to do that, you know, empowering yourself by saying it's not a priority for me right now, because, and that's true. I love that last part, that these people move through life with ease in spite of obstacles and misfortune. Because you realize that those are valuable too, because you've learned to focus on value as opposed to on, like the shifting sands of consumerism or popularity or style or, I mean, whatever. Whatever you want to call it. There's another good quote. Let me see if I can find it real quick.
All right. While you're doing that, I'll talk about my thing, because this last one that I wanted to talk about, an example of buying quality stuff, you know, mainly because I'm a guy and I like loud things that have motors and, you know, that sort of thing. But buying quality doesn't always mean spending a lot of money either, because a lot of times you can, especially for bigger items, you can find quality items at a cheaper price. Now, what that usually entails is spending a little bit more time, which is another one of our criteria.
Right.
So we mentioned earlier my jacket, my Woolworths jacket that I got off eBay, found it on there. You know, it was in rough shape. The inside, the lining is pretty much just, it's got holes in it and everything else. But the wool is in good shape. And I think I got that jacket for $15. Now, you can go out, if you don't want to spend the time, but you have the extra money, then you can buy like a Filson, their Mackinaw jacket, which is, what was it?
$500
Yeah.
I think
that one was a little less. Or you can get a Woolrich, which Woolrich isn't as good a quality anymore, for I think around $300 But again, if you buy that Filson jacket is going to last you forever. Or you can spend a little bit of time, find one on eBay or look around Craigslist, go to some thrift stores, which thrift stores don't normally have great quality stuff, and get that sort of thing. So in discussing what guys really like is, you know, something like a chainsaw. so recently I purchased two different chainsaws. One I bought retail, but I decided I wanted to get a little bit smaller one, just for limbing and for doing some other things. And so I started looking around on Craigslist, and found one locally here and got a great deal. Got it basically half off. And the guy had used it for 5 years. He said he cut maybe, you know, 20 quart of wood with it, which really isn't that much when in the grand scheme of chainsaws. But when My grandpa, and just to kind of tell you the whole story shortly, my grandpa has been heating with wood for as long as I can remember, probably before I was born. And he always complains about his chainsaws. He's always buying cheap ones and repairing them and fixing them, and you know, they're breaking and they don't run right, and you know,
they don't cut anything,
which is kind of the whole point of a chainsaw. So again, you know, in using those criteria of time and you know, enjoyment, he really hates his chainsaw and has never been happy with anyone that he's had. Where I went out and bought steel chainsaws, which steels and Husqvarnas are kind of the top of the line right now. But I found this second steel chainsaw, and when I told my grandpa I bought steel, boy, he just, oh, gee, I can't afford that kind of stuff. You know, geez, that's professional stuff there. But this second chainsaw that I got was $200. Normally, if you buy it retail, the newer version is, I think, $450. And I found a great deal on it because I spent a little bit of time looking around on Craigslist. So I'm going to talk about this a little bit later because it's something I've really been getting into recently. But try to find ways, if you need to spend time on something, especially, you know, if it's something on the internet or even something that a job that you do, like Susie was saying about soil preparation, try to find something that you can do to make that job easier. So if there is something that you're looking for and you want to look for it on Craigslist, I'm going to give you a tip later on in Around the Run. There's a great website, and maybe I should just talk about it now since we're kind of transitioning away from this topic. We're kind of getting to the end of buying better stuff. If there is something that you want to buy or something that you're looking for, check out this website. It's the URL is ifttt.com, and the name of it is If This Then That. And basically what you can do is set up different searches to find products. So for this chainsaw, you know, I knew the kind I wanted to get. And so I set up a search, a Craigslist search, that every time a steel chainsaw was posted to Craigslist, that it would send me an email. And that's how I found this one at such a great deal, was alerted about it right away, and was able to call the guy up and say, hey, I want this, hold it for me, I'll be right over. But again, I spent the time researching, I knew what I wanted, I knew that what I was going to get was quality, it's a quality German product, and then I was able to find that for a good deal. So it's kind of an all-around win, right? Because I spent a little bit of time up front, but I'm getting good quality, I'm going to get enjoyment, and it's probably going to last me the rest of my life.
And I think one of the keys, too, is being able to be patient, because I think far too many people, for most people I know, or a lot of people I know, it's about that instant gratification thing. Because you see something, you want it, you buy it. And that's what they want, because you're less likely to return it after you've already paid for it, just because of the hassle and all of that. And if you stop, sit back and think about things, more often than not, we end up not getting something. But being patient, then you only get what you really need and want. And you can often save money. Like I've been wanting to get a pair of boots. I need a pair of boots to wear around, because I have a pair of rubber boots, which are not good for walking in the snow since I've about killed myself 10 times. And
they're basically skis.
Exactly. And I knew I wanted a pair, and I've just been waiting and watching. And so I found Ella Bean had a great sale a couple weeks ago, and so I ended up getting them for a great price because of that, because I knew what I wanted, and I just kind of waited.
Well, and just like this sweater that you got me for Christmas that I'm wearing as we record this, and I like it. I have kind of a weird, I'm sort of a tall, skinny body type, which isn't great for clothes buying. I'm not average. I'm a little bit longer than average as far as my arms and torso is concerned. And so when I find something I like, and Susie's the same way, if we find something we like, then we buy a lot of them because we know that that's going to go away.
And it saves time.
Right.
Too.
Yeah. Now, we're not the most stylish
people.
Because
nothing I hate more than shopping.
Yeah.
You know.
Which is funny. I made this comment. I was wearing that new Filson shirt that Susie got for me down to our neighbors for our coffee date that we have with our neighbor down there. And so we walk in and she says, and we've known our neighbors now for, what, 3 months?
Yeah.
And she goes, hey, is that a new shirt? I was like, wow. You know, because I have basically like 3-4 shirts that I wear, all good quality and all are going to last for forever. But I don't really care that, you know, I have something different or have a different style every time we go down. So, yeah.
And that's part of the mindset change too.
Right.
And you will get some pushback, I think, from people because it makes other people feel uncomfortable that you can wear the same sweatshirt.
Right.
For a couple of years.
And I think that's...
And they can't. And yeah.
I think that's... You nailed it right there. All of this is a mindset change more than anything else. It's just changing... It's first of all
and
realizing...
sometimes thinking outside the box.
Yeah. It's first of all realizing that you are being marketed to and you are
being,
lied
brainwashed.
To. And
you're being manipulated, yes. Essentially.
Yeah. By everything. By, you know... By everything. I mean, there's ads everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And so, first of all, figuring that out, because once you realize that, you start to see it, and then you can discern it, and then you can fight it. And fighting it, I really think, is doing what we've talked about in this show. Spending a little bit of time to research, to find a good quality product that you can buy, that you can use, and it's going to last for a very long time. And so... I hope that that's... is there anything else you want to say on this? We've kind of run the gamut here and...
I wanted to talk a little bit about my shoes.
Oh,
we
yeah.
Kinda
oh,
missed
yeah.
That one.
I kind of...
And
yeah.
It's funny because we talked about this earlier this week when Brian... and part of buying good quality things is then there's a little bit of maintenance involved.
Mm-hmm.
Brian put some mink oil on this pair of leather shoes that I have that I wear all the time, every day, pretty much. If I can't be wearing sandals... And I'm going out, I wear these shoes everywhere. And, you know, it used to be like most normal people who your shoe that you wear all the time is like a tennis shoe, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started to get frustrated with the fact that tennis shoes are expensive and they don't last very long. It seems like you wear them for
and
6 months.
Made for running.
And they're not very
so
comfortable.
They're not comfortable.
They're not really comfortable to walk around in because you're kind of whatever's in style at the moment, which happens to be running shoes, kind of. Everybody wants to look like they run everywhere.
That's so true.
Yeah.
I'm a runner. I have running shoes. Don't you see my yoga pants?
But they don't last. No. They don't last at all. And so we just started getting frustrated with the fact that, you know, I don't want to buy $80 to $100 shoes every 6 months. That's completely ludicrous. My shoes should not fall apart after 200 miles,
yeah.
You know?
You can tell the last time you bought running shoes because I'm sure they're like $150
oh,
now.
Gosh.
But anyway.
But that's one reason I quit buying them. So then I went and I found this pair of their Keens, their leather. And they were $90. And how many years ago did I buy these shoes? Like 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
And they're leather, so the top doesn't rip. It doesn't... If it gets dirty, you wipe it with the damp cloth and put some fresh mink oil on it. You know, the tread on the things is great. I wear these things all the time. It's pretty much my only pair of shoes except for my hiking boots and a pair of like dressy kind of shoes that I wear with my dress pants and stuff. Pretty much these are the shoes I wear constantly. And these things have lasted me for at least 5 years, maybe more. I can't remember exactly when I bought them. And they're just a pair of like black shoes.
Yeah, that go with pretty much anything.
They go with pretty much everything. And it's the one pair of shoes I have and the one pair of shoes that I wear. Mm-hmm. And I spent $90 on them. Mm-hmm. And so at this point, I mean, they've cost me like $15 a year. And they're still super comfortable. And they're going to last me for a couple more years. Probably at least.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Good purchase.
That's just one of those things that, yeah, but I'm wearing the same shoes. That's the thing. I'm wearing the same shoes. I don't care if I'm wearing the same shoes all the time. And I don't care if people notice that I'm wearing the same shoes all the time.
You know?
I'd rather have one good, and it takes the ease. That's another thing about the simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
It takes the ease out of, it doesn't take me a half hour to figure out what I'm going to wear in the morning, because it's pretty much, and I'm going to wear my gray wool sweatshirt, my brown wool sweatshirt, or my green wool sweatshirt.
That are all the same style.
So, I think I'll do charcoal today.
our friend that's coming up, we have a friend that's coming to visit, and she said, well, I'm just bringing a carry-on, so you might see me wearing the same clothes all week. And I said, come on, you know us. I said, until this winter when Susie got me a new sweater, and then I went online and did a bunch of, well, not a bunch, but some searching and found one for even cheaper and bought another one because I liked the style of it, which is where I was going with that whole discussion of me having a weird body type. I never finished that thought. But anyway, found another sweater. You know, now I have 4 sweaters. So, but the good thing is I have...
Now you won't have to buy a sweater for the next 10 years.
Right. And I have 3 pairs of pants. They're all the same style, and 2 of them are the same color. And I know that all of those can be intermixed and interchanged. So I wake up in the morning.
It just takes the ease out of it.
You know, throw on one of the sweaters and throw on one of the pairs of pants, and I'm good to go. But yeah, and that does. It takes the ease. That's one reason I think, I don't know if any of you have ever seen a picture of me, but I shave my head. And I shave my head, one, because it's just easy. It saves time.
It saves money because you don't have to be going to get a haircut every
month. Yeah, because I can cut my own hair.
Month or
and
whatever.
I know that's not practical for some people.
But if you notice, more and more of our friends are starting to do that as well.
Yeah. yeah, so it's just all these little things. And this can be, like we were talking about, with all the way down to Kleenexes.
Yeah.
All the way up to, you know, the type of car that you purchase.
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting. So let's talk about that really briefly, because this show is getting super long.
Oh, no. And here we thought we weren't going to have enough to talk about.
I know. I'll just touch on this really briefly. So when it comes to cars, you don't necessarily need to buy a top quality car, because cars, when you think about all of these criteria and all these different things, cars are one of those things that they're going to wear out. You know, mm-hmm. They're meant to wear out. They are expendable products. And no matter what kind of car you can buy the most expensive car there is out there, and it's going to wear out. But there is a balance in there.
Right.
And, you know, there have been many cars that we have purchased that we have had to literally go buy a new car because at 30 or 40,000 miles, the thing was falling apart. So there's also a balance in there, and that's all the further I'm going to go with that. You don't necessarily need to buy the most expensive, but spending a little bit more up front and maybe the car lasting 200,000 miles as opposed to 100,000 miles can make a huge difference. But again, that comes back to what we were talking about with being content with what you have.
Mm-hmm. And being content with driving the same car for that long, or wearing the same shirt for that long, or wearing the same shoes for 10 years.
Yeah. So it comes back to that mindset again. We've pretty much driven that into the ground. And now we're starting to repeat ourselves, which is when it's time to move on. So we're going to move on to kind of a new segment. We've talked about doing this. Susie said, I think after episode 2 or 3, she said, you know, we should have a section where I can just kind of talk about things that we talked about in the past, but maybe a little bit deeper, or just a thought that I had this week.
And I was thinking at the beginning of our podcast, we should do a thing at the beginning of each podcast that's like expounding on last week.
Mm.
Because as an introvert, I always think about it all week, and then I have all these great new things that I wish I would have said. But it might be a good way, because I don't know if you mull over what we talked about, but and that might be a good way to if someone didn't listen to the previous one, to know what it was about.
Okay.
And then maybe want to go back and listen to that one. And so maybe other people have been thinking, I don't know. But that's what this one is about.
This Week in Review.
I was thinking about it this week and thought, oh, I should have mentioned on the whole introvert HSP thing about insomnia and sleep issues, because a lot of people may not realize that that's part of it, because you get so overstimulated that your body has a really hard time shutting down at night, and your mind has a hard time because you're constantly thinking about things and mulling things over. It can be really hard. I mean, I remember laying awake when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, constantly. I've been an insomniac forever. And you just learn how to deal with it. I don't need as much sleep as most people do. You know, if I take some quiet time, that's rejuvenating to me, kind of like sleep is. So, and maybe that's part of it. Maybe I don't need as much sleep as if I'm focusing on getting the quiet time. But yeah, insomnia is like a huge thing. And I know my triggers, you know, like compact fluorescent light bulbs are horrible for that. Mm-hmm. And I notice even here, we have a couple lights we haven't replaced yet. If that light is on, if the light in the kitchen is on a lot at night, I have a lot harder time sleeping that night. So we try to keep it off, but sometimes it's just not, you know, you need it on for certain things. So learning your triggers, spending time on your computer and like LED screens before you go to bed, an hour watching TV, that kind of stuff, that can just be too overstimulating for some people. And maybe mm-hmm. that's a highly sensitive person thing and not so much an introvert thing. I don't know. It's something you have to work out for yourself. And, you know, drink a cup of tea before you go to bed. And I take melatonin at night. I could put a link in the show notes mm-hmm. for, I have like a naturally derived probiotic, like naturally fermented melatonin that I take at night, because I think my body just doesn't really produce it, which is another kind of an introvert thing. I think that a lot of introverts struggle with that. And I think as a result, a lot of them end up with depression and that kind of stuff. And a lot of it, I mean, some of it I think can be because of lack of sleep
mm-hmm.
and because of not your body not producing the melatonin, and the natural sleep cycle just isn't there. So yeah, I don't know if that's an HSP thing or an introvert thing or both, but thought I would mention that.
Yeah, and we got some,
because that can be either, you know, and you may not even realize it
mm-hmm.
and that might be something that triggers you to maybe realize that, you know, I can't sleep all the time. Maybe I am an introvert, at least on some level. Mm-hmm. Maybe it is the overstimulation. Maybe I shouldn't be watching a thriller movies right before I go to sleep, you know, or crime TV shows, or, you know, some people, that can be it. And you might not realize that that's what's doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was really encouraged just, sometimes, you know, I wonder if our ramblings are making any difference. And it seemed like last week's show and talking about being an introvert and HSP was highly enlightening for many people that
yeah.
had never considered that that might be, you know, what they are, that they yeah. are an introvert. And, you know, we had people that commented, and like Susie said, she had many people that emailed her this week and just said, you know, this show was a revelation to me, and I just sat there crying because I was saying, oh, this is me, you know. And so yeah, that was good. That mm-hmm. was good. It's interesting the things that, some of the things that we talk about that I think, oh gee, you know, nobody's gonna really care about this. Not that I thought that about the introvert show, but you know, those seem to be the things that really hit home with people. So, mm-hmm. and that's why we're going to continue doing the show. Cause we hope that it is making a difference to somebody. And we hope that we're helping people to simplify their lives through those discussing
and
these
live
different
more
topics.
Deliberate lives.
Yeah. Yeah. And to think about the yeah. lives that they're living.
Conscious.
Yeah.
To live a conscious life.
Yep.
It certainly is more enjoyable to actually live your life and not to just
glide.
Allow other people to tell you what you need to do to yeah. supposedly have a life.
Speaking of advertising.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on to listener questions.
Which we forgot last week.
Yeah, which we forgot last week. So these are some from 2 weeks ago, and actually some from before that. Melissa asked if we're planning on clipping the wings of our ducks.
No. Not really. Partly because I just don't want to deal with it. And if they want to fly up and roost in a tree, they can fly up and roost in a tree if they want to. But I think, I don't know. Yeah, I don't plan on it.
That might change, but we're not planning on it right now.
Yeah.
And our ducks, I think we've completely screwed them up because they're the most.
Although they're at the point where I think that they'll start to fly here pretty soon if they want to. Although the Muscovies don't fly a ton anyways, from what I've read. The males are pretty heavy. They can. The people I've known that have them said that, you know, they'll fly a little bit here and there. The females will fly up and roost on top of, you know, the shed and that kind of stuff, but I don't know.
Yeah, if you recall, we put the ducks on the garage because I still haven't built the duck house.
Plus, it's hard to have an electric fence out in this kind of weather.
Yeah, because we've got almost 2 feet of snow on the ground now, and it's finally stopped, so I can go plow after this. But yeah, so we put our ducks in the room off of our garage, and the lady that we got our friend that we got the ducks off of said, oh, you know, they barely go inside at all. And she had an old chicken coop for them. And oh, they're just always out in the yard and wandering around. And she even posted a picture on Facebook this week of her ducks walking through the snow. And ours will not leave that room in the garage.
They came out yesterday.
We think we've messed them up. We've turned them into like, I don't know.
It's partly about training, though.
What did you call them? Couch potatoes?
I call them duck potatoes.
Duck potatoes.
Like couch potatoes. But I think it's partly about training, too, because we did want to train them that safety is indoors, and we want to keep them locked up at night, because we do have coyotes around here and fisher cats and, you know, other stuff that... And when you have animals, while you want them to be free and enjoy the pastured life, you also need to make sure you're providing protection from them. So they're not... I mean, that quote, sitting duck, doesn't exist for no reason. Right. You know, ducks are highly susceptible to predators because they can't run that fast. And these ducks in particular don't necessarily fly yet. And these ducks in particular are also kind of larger. So they don't, you know, they have a little harder time flying away from predators as more than like a smaller duck would. So, we wanted to train them that indoors was safe. And they do, you know, when they get scared, they run into the barn. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when they're going to be running into their house, and we want to lock them up at night to keep them safe. So, I mean, part of that's training too, you know, it'll keep them safe. Yeah, they're not outside all the time, which they can't really eat any grass or pasture now or eat bugs anyways, because it's all snow, but they do go out and eat some snow. But in the spring, I mean, I think once all the snow melts, they'll probably spend the majority of their time outside.
Yeah. So there you go. No,
but yeah, no,
we're not planning.
We're
on
not
it.
Planning on it. No.
So Glenda asks if we, going back to the
raw food
episode for your animals, Glenda asked if we feed our cats fish.
Which I do sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And two of them will eat it raw. One of them won't eat it at all. Mm-hmm. Sophie, our cat Sophie, won't. But then Samson will eat it if I cook it. And I'll get fish at the, you know, when we go into the fish market, sometimes I'll buy some fish. I haven't found a good source for inexpensive fish.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cheaper for me to buy chicken for them. But I do try to feed them fish and a little bit of cod liver oil just to give them a little variety in their diet. Mm-hmm. And we've discussed raising fish, like putting in a little aquaponic system in a greenhouse and raising some fish in there, which we could then feed to the chickens and the cats and that kind of thing. But, you know, that's way into the future.
I was going to say, we've got a few other priorities before that all takes place.
But that's something we've discussed as well.
And then just as a tip, this really isn't a listener question, but more just a tip. Kiskin said that there's a great raw food feeding group. And I think that's what you search for on Facebook, raw food feeding group.
Yeah, and I've heard it's good too.
Yeah.
I don't frequent forums or groups like that because I pretty much have nailed down what I want to do. And I find a lot of... And I haven't been on the one on Facebook much, so I can't say this about them, but I've been on like the Yahoo groups and some of the other ones, and I find it to be a little too much. I'm doing it right and you're doing it wrong. Like,
you need to do
this and you shouldn't do that,
yeah.
As opposed to finding what works best for you. Mm-hmm. So I find a little too much of that on there, and I prefer doing my research and other methods. Mm-hmm. But that can be a valuable resource, I think, for... I mean, I didn't have that when I was first starting out and wanted... But it can also maybe scare people away from it, I think, too.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, that's my own personal thing. That's mm-hmm. just how I prefer doing things, so.
All right. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on around the run here, and I want to go back to what I mentioned before with If This Then That, because I really think it's applicable to living a more simple life once you can wrap your head around what you can do with it, especially if you spend a lot of time on the internet. You know, if you basically do email and look up stuff on Google, then don't worry about it. But I want to talk about that. But first of all, we wanted to just give you an update and say that we have a ton of snow on the ground, and we're pretty darn happy about that.
Yeah.
We got about probably about 8 to 10 inches the other day when Susie's parents were here. And then it's been snowing for the past 18 hours. And just looking outside here, it has stopped now. But I think we've got probably somewhere between 18 and 24 inches on the ground now. So we're pretty excited about that. And so I've been out using our old pickup truck. With the house, we got a 1968 yeah. Jeep pickup truck, a J3000 for any of you interested, with the 232 inline six. And it came with a snow plow. So I've been plowing our third of a mile driveway, and just really having a good time with that. So we think we're going to go try and maybe do some sledding at some point, because yeah. we have a pretty awesome hill out in front of our house.
Some more snowshoeing.
How long has it been since you've been sledding?
I know I went in college. I can't remember if we've been the last time after that. Have we?
Done it
too. We had to have gone at some point with like the kids in the youth group.
No? I don't know. So it's probably been, you know, 16, 17 years since I've been on a sled.
It's dangerous when you're this age.
I know. And we do so much physical stuff that if one of us gets hurt, we're going to be in trouble. We might do some sledding.
Oh, maybe.
But we did buy snowshoes for each other for Christmas, and so we've been enjoying those and taking hikes back to the woods. And it's really, it's neat. You know, snowshoeing is one of those things. I mean, it's basically walking with big things on your feet.
Right. But it definitely makes it a little easier yeah. when there's a lot of snow.
It's just one of those things, too, that's an inexpensive thing to get into, and yet it's good physical mm-hmm. activity. And
it
also
gets you outside. And
you get to see some just beautiful things. Mm-hmm. We went out after the snowfall the other day, and it was just, and there's tons of photos on Facebook that mm-hmm. Susie posted.
I should share them on my Chiots Run Facebook page, yeah. which I haven't.
And that's one thing that we want to encourage you to do this week. The last time I looked, we were at 924 likes on Facebook. We would want to encourage you this week. Your homework assignment this week is to help us to get 1,000 likes on Facebook. And if we can do that before the new year, so I know that you're all going to be listening to this on New Year's. So we need to get 75 of you listeners to go like us on Facebook right now before you go to your New Year's Eve party. And that would just be awesome to hit 1,000 likes on Facebook. And then Susie shares a lot of the photos and a lot of the stuff that we are doing around here. If you just search for Chiots Run on Facebook, or if you go to cultivatesimple.com or chiotsrun.com, and
they're
we have a little
left-hand side
link on the left-hand side, a little button that you can do that and like us. That would be great, because I know you like us, so like us. So I want to talk really briefly about If This Then That. This is a really cool website that I discovered through a podcast I was listening to. And if you go to ifttt.com, it's a free service. If you use any kind of social media, even down to email or online apps, then If This Then That can actually save you a lot of time once you wrap your head around it. So to describe it briefly, they have channels. Now, channels can be social media, it can be online, like web apps. Dropbox is one that we use a lot. Evernote, you can hook up RSS feeds, you can hook up Google Reader, you can hook it into Gmail, Google Calendar, Pinboard, even into the weather. So let me give you a few examples. So they have these different channels that you activate. Sometimes you have to give them your credentials or to authorize the web app to work. So like with Facebook, you can authorize it to work with Facebook, and then it can post things for you only when you want them to. So then with these channels, you create a recipe, and this is where the if this then that comes into play. So if this, so let's say my example before, Craigslist, if a search for or if a new listing for Kubota tractors, which I'm looking for right now, comes up, then that, which would be an email, is sent to me. Or you could have it post, you could have it copy that listing into your Evernote. Or I have it, there's a web app called Pocket that you can save different things to. It's kind of like Pinterest, only in a more general sense. You're not pinning like a photo or something. You're just saving a web page to look at later. So it's kind of a cross between Pinterest and bookmarks. So if I save something to Pocket, or then it saves that then to Evernote, if that makes sense. So here's a better example. Within Google Reader, they have where you can star an article. So I'm reading through all of my RSS feeds in Google Reader, and I see something I like or something that I want to hang on to. One of the things recently has been rabbitry. I'm reading up a lot on rabbitry. And as I find articles that I like about rabbitry that come through on my RSS feeds, I star them. Which makes it a favorite in Google Reader. What that does, if this then that, then sees that star and saves that article to my Evernote. Now you might say, what's the point of that? Well, within Evernote, you can do text searches on everything and tag things. Now, I know Susie has completely lost interest and now, is now petting a cat.
I'm hearing the Peanuts teacher right now.
Exactly. But for me, once you get these different things set up, it really simplifies the way that you do things. And I know that that was a lot of complication and a lot of words. And if you don't use these services, then you're completely lost at this point. But if you use these services, then this is a way to tie all these services together. One thing that I've thought about for Susie, she posts a lot of information to Facebook, not only for Chio Turun and not only on her personal site, but also for a couple of the different jobs that she does. Well, there's a recipe that if you post something to Facebook, it will then save a note in Evernote, or it'll save a text document in your Dropbox. So that if Facebook ever goes away, which I'm sure it will someday, you have all that information. That information is not lost. So another one, if you post a photo to Instagram, then it'll save a copy of it to Dropbox for you. Or it could even post that to Facebook for you. Or it could, you know, so you get the idea. There's one with weather. You can, if it's going to be below freezing tomorrow, it will send you an SMS that says, you know, to grab a jacket. So there's all these different things. Once you kind of see all the different services, all the channels that you can tie into, and you can start making your own recipes, or they have a lot of recipes that you can look at, it can really simplify your online life. One thing, they came out with a new thing, or they added a channel this week called Blink, and this super geeky, super cool though. It's a little USB stick that plugs into your computer. And you can program it for different like flashing rates and also different colors. Or it can be solid or flashing or, you know, flash in certain patterns or different things like that. Now that can tie into if this then that. So say a Kubota tractor comes up on Craigslist. I keep using that example, but it's a good one. A Kubota tractor comes up on Craigslist. My little USB stick would then flash to let me know that something's going on. Isn't that cool?
So it would flash differently?
And you can set it for different types of flashing for your different signals.
Oh, I would never remember which was which.
So, well, That's true.
But I would be like, oh no, it's three dashes. What does that mean?
So you can set it up so that if you get an email from a certain person, that it would flash. So if you have a, you know, something that you're like a client, or a good example that happened to us this past week, there's Boxo package tracking, which I now have a bookmarklet set up in my bookmark bar to track packages for us. So whenever we get a tracking number, I hit that bookmarklet, I copy and paste the tracking number, and then it will track packages for us. Now you could set that little thing up to flash whenever your package arrives at your house, because we had some olives that got taken back to the post office without us knowing, sat at the post office for 13 days and then came up rotten, which then cost us $40, which actually didn't cost us $40 because Chafin Family Orchards is awesome and refunded our money and sent us another box, which we'll put a link to them. Mm-hmm. And that might be an interview that we do with them someday. But now, whenever this box arrives or a package arrives, we could set up this little blinking thing to flash at us.
There you go.
And it would let us know. Or, you could even set it up then to send you an email. Or, I just found out today, you can set it up to even give you a phone call.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
So weren't we saying, wouldn't it be nice if UPS would call you every time your package was delivered? Because our box were... send you a text. You can set it up to do that.
There you go. See.
How
phone?
Cool. Is that? See, now you're liking it. Now you're seeing that. Yeah, you love the phone.
Loathe
the phone. Yeah, I know. So there you go. So that's my little plug for If This Then That. Check it out. Wrap your head around it.
It's like Mr. Chiutz's geek segment.
Mr. Chiutz and his geek segment. Yep, that's it. So let's see. Let me pull up the notes here. Do we have anything else we want to discuss this week? Nope. I think that's it. Just to thank you again for Amazon affiliate links. You guys have been using that and it's really helped us out this month. So that's been great. We can pay for our hosting and we've got a little bit extra to buy a couple books. And also, like I said, like us on Facebook, and go over and, leave a comment in the show notes because we're giving away that free calendar. And if you want to buy a calendar, you can always do that at cultivatesimple.com. In the sidebar, there are links to the calendar and you can purchase one of those and figure out how you're going to live that more simple life this year. So this week, I always try and transition into that little ending segment. I really screwed it up this week. So, whatever. No, that's not a good way to end it. How are we going to end this? I've really just jacked it up this time. This goes to show you I'm not a radio personality.
Oh, I don't know. Comment for your chance to win a calendar.
Cultivate simple.
No, just say, hey, if you have any great other topics you'd like us to discuss.
I know, but
leave those in the thing. And until then,
cultivate simple.
Or let us know how you're going to cultivate simple in the new year.
Oh, see, there. Okay, so let's go back. Let's rewind. So say everything that you just said again, but do it nice one smooth line there. I'll edit this out. Don't worry.
Both things?
Yeah.
What did I say?
You said about the calendar, and then you went into...
So comment if you want to comment on this. So comment on this podcast for your chance to win a calendar and let us know how you're going to cultivate simple in this coming year.
Don't worry, I'll edit all this out.
I'd rather be a farmer. I'd rather work the...